This is the Juggle Podcast.
If you want a satisfying career and a fulfilling family life, this is the podcast for you.
Join me, Jo Lilovich,
and me, Lucy Dickens,
as we share strategies and insights to help you keep your balls in the air. Hi, welcome back to The Juggle. I'm Jo.
I'm Lucy. Thank you for joining us again. Today, we want to delve deeper into The Juggle, from work-life balance to having it all. What is The Juggle all about?
Well, I think any person you ask would have a different answer. So why don't we start with the dictionary, which is always a good place to go.
Good place to start.
It's supposed to be the eminent place. So the dictionary tells us that juggling is continuously tossing into the air and catching a number of objects so as to keep at least one in the air while handling the others.
We've all seen those pictures of women who have lots of arms. They've usually got 15 arms or so, juggling all the components of their lives. They have phones and laptops and babies and nappies all above their head. And it's always a woman. It's never a man in those pictures.
No, definitely women are bigger jugglers than men. I think the thing that I take out of this definition is that it keeps talking about keeping at least one in the air and handling the others. So there's no mention of drop balls, and everyone knows that when you drop a ball, you kind of, you know, you've failed and you need to pick up your pieces and start again. Failing, I suppose, maybe that's a bit harsh, but
yeah, that might be a little bit harsh, but it is about lots of things on the go at once. That's really key, I suppose, to what the juggle is about.
I definitely feel like I have way too many things in the air at the moment between trying to get this podcast up and running and doing everything in the background that's required, although I'm so thankful that I'm sharing that with you and not trying to do it all on my own. Between that, my three kids, my son who keeps falling over and damaging his at the moment, he seems to be suffering from lots of head injuries, lots of black eyes.
Oh dear!
At the moment, and then the kids who want to go to school and to after school activities, the husband who's building a house, the work on the side that's supposed to be earning the income, finding some time to do something for myself, visit with friends and family. There's a lot going on.
And then I'm about to step on a plane to go on holiday in a couple of hours. So that adds the pressure. We need to get some episodes recorded.
Yeah, how dare you have a holiday? Just when everything is getting so busy.
Well, it brings us into this topic that we like to discuss about work-life balance.
Which is another way, isn't it, of saying juggle.
It is, yeah. And there are lots of different ways to describe work-life balance. There's, you know, some that we've heard of: work-life blend, work-life integration, work-life mix. One that we discovered recently with a guest whose episode we'll be sharing with you in a couple of weeks is work-life harmony. They're all different catchphrases, I suppose, but there's no real one definition of work-life balance and what it means.
That's right. I think, as I said before, everyone has got their own different view on what's balance for them. And some people hate to use the expression balance because they just feel that balance implies that everything is equal. And most of us tend to find that we're not equally putting the same amount of time into different aspects of our life. We don't put, you know, 25% into our family, 25% into our work, and 25% into ourselves, and I don't know, 25% into our husbands, for example. So, you know, it changes. And I remember one of the analogies that I heard a while ago was the four burners approach. And you could have obviously more than four going at one time. But he described it as, you know, you need to have, you've got four burners, and that might be your work and your personal life and your relationship, as I said. And he said, you can't last for very long with all four going full throttle. You know, the gas runs out.
Yeah.
So at different times, you're probably going to have more gas going to one part of your life and some of the others just simmering away. And you're just kind of keeping them ticking over until you have the time to come back to them and put some more energy into them. And I really like that analogy. I think it's definitely feels like it matches my life at the moment, because there's a lot of gas and energy going into preparing this podcast. my family are simmering along behind, and I'm desperately heading towards April this year when I'm going to take a family holiday. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts.
It does. And I'll be off on my holiday soon, and I'll leave you alone for 2 weeks so you can catch up with your family. That's a really interesting analogy. I actually hadn't heard of that one until you mentioned it to me not long ago. But my take on work-life balance has, I guess it's been slightly different in that I've never understood the phrase work-life balance to mean that we have to have equality in all of the areas, or balance, I suppose. I really like the seesaw analogy where, and the way I see that is that, you know, if we've got work and life on either side, I hate that too because work is part of life, but let's just go with it for the purposes of this conversation. If we've got work and life on the seesaw, it does, you know, it goes up and down. Sometimes you're spending more time and energy on work, and sometimes you're spending more time and energy on family. But overall, those things kind of balance each other out, or should balance each other out. And that's been my take on work-life balance, that it doesn't mean 50-50. I actually much prefer the phrase work-life integration, but it doesn't have quite the same ring as work-life balance. No, and it doesn't work as well as the hashtag.
It sounds way too corporate.
It does. Yeah, people don't quite get it. So I use work-life balance, but I guess that's what I take it to mean, is not equal balance.
Yes, which defeats the whole point of using the word
balance. I know. Let me have my fun. We need a new one.
they do need a new one. We will find one. We will find one.
We said we could be work-life juggle. We might have to be work-life juggle.
Well, I mean, this is why we have, you know, called our podcast The Juggle and not Work-Life Balance or something else, because everyone has different views on balance and integration and those types of things, but everyone seems to generally appreciate that life is a juggle. Mm-hmm. So it definitely has, we hope, you know, more of an understanding across different people's views.
Yeah. And what that juggle is for different people will change over time. I mean, what balance, or whatever we want to call it, looks like now will be different when, you know, I finally have another baby, or when kids start school, or when we change, you know, you start a new job or get a promotion or go on maternity leave or whatever.
And it doesn't even have to be those big things, does it, Lucy? Sometimes it's just the small things, like today I'm really focused on work and podcast, and you know, hopefully, well, probably not tomorrow, but you know, maybe the next day will be a lot more focused on family, when I can, you know, spread those times out. And that gets into that question of boundaries, you know, and whether or not you need to have that hard line boundary between when you're at work and when you're with your family.
Yeah, yeah. And flexibility, it ties in. All these concepts tie in together so nicely. We could talk about them all for days. But the boundaries question and flexibility are not two separate questions. We can't talk about those separately from each other. I mean, you saying today you're working on work and podcasts, and in, you know, the next couple of days you'll be working on family, that's because you have such flexibility and control over your workload and when and how you do it. And I do too, to some extent, although my work days are a bit more fixed than yours. But that question about flexible working and how much flexibility employees have over their time is really important to this work-life balance, work-life juggle question.
Yeah, absolutely. If I didn't have the flexibility that I do have, I'd be struggling a lot more with the juggle. Having said that,
sometimes boundaries can be a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do actually fluctuate between thinking that sometimes I need to put some hard line boundaries in place, because, you know, it's very easy for me at the end of the day to get the kids into bed and then log onto the computer and check some things again. And I do have those moments where I'm like, no, this time, not should, but, you know, it would be good if I spent this time with, you know, my husband, and or just even quietly reading a book rather than thinking about work or the next day's jobs.
I struggle with that too. There's always something that has to be done. I'm not very good at switching off and doing nothing.
Well, we're definitely never doing nothing.
No, that's true. That's true. But I do have to be told to stop. The other couple of nights ago, I sent Jo an email with an article saying, we need to look at this. Let's talk about this on our podcast. And she replied to me saying, go to bed, get some sleep.
I did think twice before sending that, and then decided that I would be okay to send that to you, that you could take it from me.
I almost replied and said, yes, mum. Yeah. But I was actually going to bed, so I didn't.
I was waiting for the one back saying, yes, you go to bed too.
Yeah. I just did as I was told. What is your view on boundaries then in general? I mean, I know there's, well, what's your ideal on boundaries? What do you think between work and life?
I think my ideal would be a little bit more boundaries than I currently have. So I think I would like to be, and it's not, I don't know if I would call it boundaries. I heard about this concept once where someone themed their days, and I really loved this concept, and hopefully we can bring more of this to the podcast down the track. And the woman who was sharing this concept said that, you know, Monday might be household errands day. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday were work days. Friday was family day, or Saturday, you know, weekend day was family day. And the idea behind it was that if you got to the point of the day where you're like, I don't know what to do next, you would just revert back to your theme and go, oh, it's a work day, therefore I do another work task. Whereas what happens to me, and one of the disadvantages, I think, sometimes to flexibility, for example, working from home, or although I have an office and I work from home, on the days that I work from home, it's really easy to get blurred between what I'm supposed to be doing that day. So, you know, I've heard it said, oh, it's wonderful, you can work from home and pop out and put the washing on and go back to work, and then you can pop out and hang the washing out. And that doesn't work for me, because it just has me jumping between two different parts of my life, and I'm not properly concentrating on what my focus is for that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have a bit stricter boundaries than you, because I don't work for myself. So I have three work days when I'm in the office, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And those are strict, well, not so much strictly, but those are usually my work days. I mean, my employer is very flexible, so if I need to change that up, then I can. But for me, those days, I'm always in the, I guess they are theme days in that sense, in that I'm there at work, and so I'm working on those days. And then on the other days are days that I focus on spending time with my daughter, but I do still work as and when I need to. So I'm quite happy for those boundaries to be blurred, but I suppose I do have a starting point, fixed starting point.
And that's good, because I agree that even on a non-working day, a non-designated working day for me, especially working for myself, but I think for anyone who's managing a professional career and needs to keep abreast on what's going on in the office, it's nice to just have a couple of points, you know, two or three points in the day where you just check in on your emails just to make sure that everything's okay and nothing requires your attention, or to check your phone to see if there's any messages. And then that, to me, is also, it helps my anxiety about what I'm going to find in the office the next day, because you know there's not going to be anything, because you've kept abreast of what's going on, or you know that the team that you have working with you will have told you if there's anything that you need to be concerned about on your day off. So I think, yeah, I agree. It's about saying, this is my daughter day or whatever it might be, but I'm just going to check in if I need to.
Yeah, and be available to take calls. I like to make myself available. To be honest, my firm don't really contact me that much when I'm not at work. I think they take the view that I'm not there and they want to give me some time, which is nice. But I actually quite like it when they contact me, because I feel like I'm needed.
Yeah, which is a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, most things can wait, can't they? There's not a lot that can't really wait for a day.
That's right. Not a lot can wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait.
Unless it's a kid who's, you know, at your feet screaming and, you know, mum, 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 mum. Then it gets really hard to make them wait.
No, I meant not a lot of work things can wait. I totally get about the child thing. They often can't wait, don't know how to wait, or just won't wait, either or.
Exactly. What do you think when you hear that expression, having it all?
Having it all. It's a cliche, I know, but I actually quite like the having it all thing. But for me, it's really focused on what having it all means for me, as opposed to what having it all is supposed to mean, or what other people tell me that should mean for me.
So having your all,
yeah,
as has been used as well.
And I think that's how it should be. I think people should work on what it all means to them and do that and not worry about what other people tell them that they should do or the life that they should live.
And that's really, that's really hard for particularly professional career women, because you go into a profession, you know, like we went into law, and although it's changing now, there's still this general understanding that you're going to start as a graduate and you're going to keep working your way up and working hard, and eventually you'll be a partner of a law firm. Mm-hmm. And that basic ladder that you see in front of you can be really difficult to get your head around when you decide to add a family into the mix, because then you start to feel like you're making choices.
Yeah. I guess for me personally, I've never really had those aspirations. I mean, I love my career and I don't want to give it
up. Showing a generational difference here.
But also the type of firms we've worked in. I've always worked for a small firm. There's no real clear hierarchy. I mean, we all see each other as equal. So I don't see this ladder ahead of me that I have to climb. I just see my personal career and what does that look like for me. Mm-hmm. But I know that's very much personal to me and unique to my circumstances. And I mean, not everybody listening to this is a lawyer either. So there are other career ladders or career progression strategies or whatever you would call them that apply to different professions.
And it gets into that concept of success. You know, what is your success for your career? What have you, when you started your career, what did you decide would be success at the, you know, as you go along? And you know, often for lawyers, it's partnership or, you know, in some other places, it might be becoming the CEO. You know, it really just depends what you have defined at the beginning of your career is the success point.
Yeah. And that's hard because we live in a society that tells us that we should always want more. And so for so long, I did this. I fell into this trap. We bought our first house and then I was like, right, well, what are we going to do next? And then I was always looking for the next thing. And whenever I got to the next thing, I wasn't satisfied because I felt like I needed to work out what was the next thing. And so we're always looking for something more. But I think once you can let go of that and look at what you've got or what you want, I mean, it's important to still have goals, don't get me wrong, but I've tried to stop focusing so much on what comes next and just look at what I've got now. I mean, I have a great house and I have a great career and I have a daughter. And yes, I would really like another baby, but it will happen. And I don't need to keep going for the next thing. I can just be happy with where I'm at.
Yeah, because success is about being grateful for what you've got as well. And, you know, continuing to strive and grow and learn and develop.
But enjoy the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it doesn't end and it shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't get to that point where you feel like, oh, I'm successful now. What do I do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, but it is hard. It's not easy to necessarily to work out what it all is for you. And that changes too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I really did think that success for me was going to be partner in the big firm that I worked at. And then, you know, life changes were made and, you know, then it was like, okay, well, what's the next step in my journey and where am I going to go with that?
Yeah.
And at the moment, I very much feel like success is me being able to spend what I feel is enough of my time in the places where I want to spend it so that I'm not just always having to be working or always cleaning the house or always doing one of those other jobs that comes up and spending enough time with family as well.
I like that definition of success is how you're managing your time. That's really good.
Yes, success for me is freedom, to spend my time the way I want to spend it.
I like it. I wonder what success is for me. I haven't really asked myself that question.
Oh, well, maybe some of our listeners can also ask themselves that question.
Yeah. Let us know. Tell us. Come and tell us. What does success mean for you?
Yeah. How would you define success in the juggle? Yeah. Nice. All right, well, we might just end the episode right there. What do you think?
I think so. Come and chat to us. Tell us what success means for you. Do you think we can have it all? Do you want to have it all? And what's your take on work-life balance?
That's all from us today. I hope you enjoyed this episode of us having a bit of a chat between the two of us. If you enjoyed it, then please subscribe to our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and let us know what you think. By leaving us a review, it helps other people find our show and we can spread our message further.
You can subscribe to our mailing list to be notified when each new episode is released, or, as we said, come and have a chat to us. You can find us online in our closed Facebook group. Find links to subscribe and to our group on thejaggle.com.au. See you next time. Happy juggling.
Bye.